Then there are blood donation camps which you can organize in the community, because the requirement of blood in hospitals is huge. Every operation which is a major operation, there is quite a big amount of blood loss many times. At the time of delivery also there is quite a bit of blood loss. If a patient is suffering from any coagulation disorder, the blood is not clotting, any injury occurs, the patient loses blood to a large extent, especially elderly patients when they fall. And if they get the fracture neck, femur, etc., at times there is a huge blood loss at that time also. There are cases of thalassemia major, the children who require blood transfusion every 15 days because they are not able to have the right kind of red blood cells, so the destruction of these are occurring very fast. There are people who are having the absence of hemophilic, anti-hemophilic factor, factor 8, or some other coagulation factors, and hence whenever with any injury they are more prone to get a huge blood loss, and hence blood transfusion may be needed. So in a big hospital they need every day hundreds of bottles of blood at times, and to give this required amount of blood, you can't go on telling the patient's relatives to donate every time. So it is better that you get it from the society. Blood donation is a noble cause, and if you organize blood donation camps in the residential societies where people are staying, in schools, colleges, on railway platforms, in industries, so that you can get lot of voluntary donors who can come forward at the doorstep, and then you can get the right kind of blood. Of course, there is detection is to be done, screening of the donors is to be done. You should know the age of the person, it should be less than 60, so 18 to 60. The hemoglobin levels should be 12.5 and above. Unfortunately, many of the Indian women are having less than 11.5, 12 hemoglobin. They are anemic. At times, 90% of women may be having this kind of hemoglobin low, so they cannot donate blood. So when you do the screening by taking the proper history, they should not be having any drug addiction whereby they are taking IV drugs, they are more prone to HIV, hepatitis B, etc. If a person is gay or if a woman is lesbian, again they have got more chances of getting HIV, hepatitis B, etc., and hence they should not be giving blood. So taking proper history and taking care of this, you can detect the right kind of donors to donate who are voluntary donors, and then of course you are going to do the test for this blood in the form of whether it is having any malarial parasites or HIV or hepatitis B, hepatitis C, etc. And of course if you get any of these things positive, then they can be discarded. So here you are taking beds when you are organizing blood donation camps by taking some of the community leaders into confidence, by taking the principal of the college or school into confidence and organizing that at the place so that it is convenient for them to donate. So you can organize such camps during the daytime for the industries, colleges, schools, etc., in the evening or on Sundays or holidays for the housing, cooperative housing societies, etc., so that people are free to donate. They can come forward to donate at that time in large numbers, and it can be a festival kind of mood for them, whereby when they see others donating, they are also motivated to donate. So take beds for blood donation as close to them as possible and on their convenient date and time and place, so that people are more prone to come to you for donation. Camps organized on holidays or evening in residential areas, camps organized on weekends in schools, colleges, industries, commercial houses, etc. So weekdays you can do it during the daytime for them. The advantages of collecting blood from camps are, one is donors get opportunity to donate at their own convenience. They need not go to hospital blood bank and donate. During their working hours they can donate at their in their own industry, so it is convenient for them because the hospital may be 1 hour away from their office. and coming and going and then giving blood, all those hassles can be avoided when you are having such blood donation camps. Usually familiar faces are there and the known atmosphere is there, that's why they are more likely to donate blood, and it will shed their fear complex also. Community participation is more. There are some people who are motivating others, those who have got the voice in the community, some community leaders, some social workers, whom people believe that they are good people and they always help each other. When they tell, people are more likely to come. So to recruit new donors, community participation is also very important. Health status and habits are usually known to the organizers who are organizing such camps, and hence those people whose health is not good, those who are likely to be the drug addicts or gay people, etc., they won't be invited to come and donate blood. Quality of blood will be assured by self-exclusion in such kind of things. Demonstrate effects converting non-donor to donor and help in donor retention. By this kind of blood donation, you are able to demonstrate others that, see, I am donating my blood, within 10 minutes it is over and 350 to 450 ml of blood has been given and I am absolutely hale and hearty. I am not suffering from any weakness, no problem at all. So the new donors will be attracted to donate for a social cause. And there is usually a light, music, festive mood, so that people are little more in a positive mood to donate, and there can be a kind of competition for two places also to say that my area has donated more number of blood than your area, and this kind of positive kind of competition is worthwhile. So let's understand some of the other camps which we can have in the area. One is vaccination camp, where you are giving immunization. Pulse polio is very common in India. Since in earlier days, there were lot of cases of poliomyelitis for children, and they were suffering throughout their life because of this virus, because they were losing the muscle power of their legs and they were not able to walk properly throughout their life. Gradually we came to know that it is the polio virus which is responsible for this, and then we developed oral polio vaccine. So at birth, one dose of oral polio is given. Then at 1.5 month, 2.5 month, 3.5 month, one dose of oral polio is given. Apart from that, we are even giving at 1.5, 2.5 and 3.5 month the injection triple. That is diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus. At 9 months, we are giving measles. At 1.5 year, again polio is given. 5 years, again polio is given. And nowadays, India has come out with pulse polio polio immunization every year on fixed dates, so that each and every child is covered. Gradually, initially there were hardly 18% of coverage, then gradually it increased to 40%, then 60%, then 90%, and today, last 3 years, there is not a single case of poliomyelitis which has been detected in India, and hence it has been eliminated in the March 2014. Smallpox has been eradicated in 1977, which was the first kind of disease which has been eradicated all over the world, and now we are aiming towards eradication of poliomyelitis in India. Of course, now we have reached up to elimination stage. Up till now we have not reached the eradication stage. So when we see to it that not a single child is missed, then it is likely that the wild virus is not going to be there in the atmosphere and leading to the main disease. Herd virus can actually provide immunity to the children. Cases of acute flaccid paralysis, any case of acute flaccid paralysis, if a doctor or a paramedical staff sees, they have to report it to the authorities, public health authorities, and they should investigate it thoroughly to find out whether it's a case of polio or not. And these stool specimens should be collected within 14 days of all the people around. In fact, there is a concept of ring immunization that 5 kilometer radius one has to collect the stool sample, give the immunization to all these children one more dose and report immunization, outbreak report immunization has been done or not. One has to see to it that it is conducted as early as possible to prevent further spread of this disease. One has to maintain high level of surveillance. In fact, 3 years back when we started thinking of elimination, maybe more than that also, we considered even a single case of poliomyelitis in any locality is considered to be epidemic of poliomyelitis, and all the forces should be rushed towards that area to find out what is the cause of it and try to immunize as many as possible in that area to prevent it further spread, and good mop up operations should be done. Now in modern days various other camps have been organized. Hepatitis B camp has been organized by many politicians. Nowadays people are talking about influenza vaccine camp also, but unfortunately one has to take this vaccine every year. So only those cases who are high risk, those who are immunocompromised like HIV or AIDS, then those who are on kidney transplant and all, who are taking steroids to prevent organ rejection where organ transplantation has been done, only those people should take as of now, because these vaccines are also costly. The vaccine camps are organized in some areas by the politicians or the highly welfare oriented corporates for their female employees in the form of Gardasil, which is the vaccine against the cervical cancer. So such camps are being organized for community. And now let's understand some of the social services which can be done by the hospitals. The education, health, nutrition, housing, social security and social welfare. These are the six areas which are mainly towards achieving the upliftment of the society as a whole for a kind of social service we want to give to the people. It enhances the quality of life of community in general, and it equips the poor to effectively participate in the development process of the whole country. At present, India is a developing country and we are proceeding towards a developed country. If we want to achieve that, we have to take care of all these six areas in such a way that all the poor people who are below poverty line should come up. Not a single person should be below poverty line. All people should be well educated. They should know about their rights. They should be socially well placed. All of them should have the right kind of nutrition. Nobody should be having anemia or maybe iron deficiency anemia, megaloblastic anemia, the protein calorie malnutrition or total calorie malnutrition. Everybody should be having the right kind of housing, well ventilated, well lit, with self-sufficient, and WC and all facilities, self-contained houses. At the same time, for sickness, for accidents, for any kind of problems that occur, there should be social security available, where the insurance company should be taking care of that. The country should be taking care of that for the people, and one should look into for the social welfare of all the community people. So let's go a little bit into detail about this. As far as the education is concerned, over a period of many years after independence, India is progressing towards improving the education status of all our people. Kothari Commission was appointed in 1963 64, 65, they have come out with to expand the education facilities in all the regions in the regional language so that people can learn in their mother tongues at all levels, improving quality of education and improving skills to increase their employability. So not only that, they should be made to understand the various common subjects, basic academics, basic education they should get, but they should have the specialized education and skills, vocational guidance, vocational skills in such a way that each and every person becomes employable so that he can earn his bread easily and he can be employed easily. Health. Health is a major concern. Ours is a huge populated country. After independence, we have started formulating every 5 years the health plan. So, 5 year plans have been done by various committees. Every 5 years, they are coming out with various kinds of programs, healthcare programs, in the form of TB control program, leprosy control program, Kala Azar control program, family planning, mother and child health programs, vaccination program, immunization, expanded program of immunization, universal immunization program, UIP, safe motherhood and survival of childhood for taking care of malnutrition of children, growth and development. Then HIV AIDS control program, malaria control program, various kinds of health programs have been established and they have been modified and improved upon so that the morbidity and the mortality of patients suffering from these diseases goes on decreasing. And after that, we came out even with the multiple programs on non-communicable diseases in the form of hypertension, diabetes, tuberculosis, cancer, etc. So here in the 5 year plans, we have seen to it that we should expand the services of the healthcare in the form of infrastructure, taking care of all the communicable diseases, programs to reduce mortality and morbidity. So the concept of primary health center, the secondary health care in the form of district hospitals and the tertiary health care in the form of teaching hospitals in the major cities have been come up. So this will lead to significant improvements in the various health indicators in the form of infant mortality rate, which was quite high earlier, and gradually it is decreasing every year in majority of the states of India. Maternal mortality rate also was very high earlier because most of the deliveries were done at home. Dais were doing who were not experienced people also. They were not using all the aseptic precautions and they were not knowledgeable about what are the complications of pregnancy which can occur, and there was no question of caesarean section at that time. So there was quite high maternal mortality due to infections, due to some of the other complications of pregnancy where the dais were not competent enough to tackle those kinds of problems, and hence maternal mortality was a big problem for us in India, which has been gradually decreased by training the ANMs, DAIS, availability of the hospitals in each and every rural and town level and of course metropolitan cities, and better facilities, regular antenatal care, giving immunization of injection tetanus toxoid 2 times at the interval of 1 month to all pregnant women, checking them for HIV so that they are not going to transmit it to their children also, the treatment can be given to them. So gradual improvement is occurring in the maternal mortality rate because of that. Then crude death rate also has come down because of the good hygiene, because of the good medical facilities, the latest equipments available, the highly skilled intensivists and the experts in our field, even for communicable diseases, who are infectious disease specialists and other disease specialists who are now taking care of the patients, and hence crude death rate also is coming down, and the age at birth, which was around 45 and 50 earlier, now it has come to 70 years and so in India. So the crude death rate has gone down significantly, and for that various kinds of community health programs, various kinds of improvement in the infrastructure, taking part by the government as well as NGOs and corporate hospitals, and improving the healthcare delivery system day by day by a lot of research and newer drugs, newer treatments available, ultimately we have conquered many of the diseases in today's medical field, but still there is a long way to go. Nutrition: in India, 30% of children born have a low birth weight, which is less than 2.5 kg. Over 80% of pregnant women have severe anemia, and 70% of preschool children have shown growth retardation due to malnutrition. It's a not only the protein calorie malnutrition, but total calorie malnutrition. When we have observed the growth chart milestones of these children over a period of years, many of the pediatricians have given us a report that around 70% of school children, the growth rate is less, and hence it's a huge problem in India, and gradually it is being taken care of by increasing the food production, providing the fair price shops where the food is available at a cheaper rate, and providing midday meal to all children under the ICDS scheme, so that midday meal itself will take care of 70% of the nutritional requirement of the child, so that even if they are not getting adequate food at their home, the midday meal itself in school will be giving them around 70% of the calorie requirement. As far as the housing is concerned, it's a basic function where protection against heat, cold, rain, insects, etc. is taken care of, and to provide minimum healthy conditions like fresh air, sufficient light and a proper infrastructure whereby there is a good approach road to reach your home. The proper potable drinking water is available, and sanitation facilities are available in the form of self-sufficient housing, whereby they are having their toilets available to them. So the housing problem is of course not solved totally. It is still a major problem. The lot of concretization is occurring, but the rates are also going skyrocketing. So for a poor person, it is not affordable to own a house, and government is coming out with various schemes in MADA, CIDCO, etc., where they are having lottery system, and of course they are giving the flats at much cheaper rate, and economical houses are also built in villages and towns by the government under various schemes, and they are trying to improve upon the housing conditions, the infrastructure of the whole country, and that's how the hospitals also can see to it that they can have their outreach programs done in various localities near their housing societies. They can reach to give the health education talks and all. Then comes social security, where children's education and illness has been taken care of. Every child has got the right to get educated, so even free education is provided for mainly the girl child. In developing countries, medical care, benefit for sickness, unemployment, old age, employment injury, maternity and invalidity, and survival benefits, these all things can come under social security scheme of the country. Of course, it is still not 100% available, but they are trying to improve it day by day, and those who are poor, they are being treated by the municipal and government hospitals almost at free. They are given various kinds of charitable institutions, and NGOs are also providing various kinds of aids to such patients who cannot afford, and we are trying to improve upon the taking care of the various illnesses by various NGOs, charitable institutions, even foreign aid is being given. Some of the NGOs of the foreign country are also helping us, especially in leprosy, tuberculosis, the HIV AIDS, etc. However, as far as the union is concerned, it is only in the unionized, in the organized labor, and unfortunately 90% of our labor force is in unorganized sector. So even they are not having the right kind of bare minimum wages also available. So still there is a long way to go to provide the social services to all the people, and hence social welfare, the well-being of people, is to be taken care of by eradicating the poverty. Every government talks about eradicating the poverty, but it is not that easy. By taking protection of the poor from exploitation, and hence lot of laws have, labor laws have been enacted, and they are trying to enforce that in the form of Minimum Wages Act, Payment of Wages Act, Equality, Equal Remuneration Act, etc. And then came the Social Security Acts in the form of ESIS Act, where up to 15,000 salary person, all the medical benefits, extended sickness benefits, funeral benefits, total or partial disablement benefit due to accident or for occupational disease, etc., has been taken care of. So these are all coming under social security and social welfare. So access poor to the fruits of development, whatever development is occurring, the poor people also should be able to get those benefits. And that's how the government is enacting various policies to take care of all the poor people also, by declaring various kinds of schemes in the form of the midday meal scheme and the Awas Yojana, that is for residential purpose, and taking insurance of each and every poor person all over the country for their medical care and all that. So various kinds of social services are taking place, and hospital also is one of the important unit of that. So even hospital authorities should see to it that they are having 15 to 20% of their beds which are free for all poor patients of the country in the community around, and they should scrupulously do that rather than show only on the paper. Now, funds from NGOs and industrial groups, non-governmental organizations, are those organizations which are running purely voluntarily for the social benefit of the community at large, and they can be funded by the bare minimum charges that they are taking for their services at times, or by some other corporates, or by even foreign aids. So World Bank definition of NGO is a non-profit making, so it is not going to make any profit for themselves. It's a voluntary service oriented and development oriented organization, either for the benefit of their own members who are the grassroots organizations, or of other members as an agency. So for community at large, they are helping. It can be either national or international. So there are international NGOs also, Rockefeller Foundations and Bill Gates Foundation and various others. Now, what is the function of NGO? What they do? Development of primary healthcare programs they are organizing in many of the downtrodden communities. Greater understanding and positive attitudes towards primary healthcare. They are trying to provide sanitation, drinking water, taking care of all the communicable diseases by providing the right kind of drugs at the right time, free as far as possible or at highly concessional rates. Greater understanding and positive attitude towards primary healthcare, so that people who are having myths and misconceptions about this taking treatment from primary healthcare are also removed by their proper counseling, giving health education talks to them, the importance of taking care of one's health, and utilizing the services of the primary healthcare. improving upon the mentality of people to use these services rather than go for delivery with the dyes only, assist national policy formulation in areas of health and integrated human development. They also assist in formulating the national policies towards betterment of the society at large, and it leads to integrated human development by the right kind of healthcare services, community participation, sectoral intercoordination, etc., and utilizing all the resources optimally. They establish means for greater collaboration and coordination of primary healthcare activities. They contribute to primary healthcare in many ways by implementing the programs with the right spirit. Many times enforcement of these programs is not adequate, even though the government has started it, because they don't have sufficient number of manpower to look after them also. So, major source of NGO funding is usually by membership dues, whereby NGO is having their own membership and they are, the members are giving regular dues to them in the form of monthly, annual subscriptions. Sale of goods and services, they are producing certain goods, they are giving certain services to the community at large, to the corporates at large, and they are getting money against that, and this money is being utilized for functioning of the NGO. Grants from international institutions, many of the NGOs are getting grants from international institutions also, or even national institutions. National governments also are giving grant to these NGOs for taking care of various programs. It can be TB control, malaria control, it can be water, it can be for drinking water, desalination, it can be for gobar gas plant, various kinds of activities they are doing, and many times the government is also giving them a good grant, and even they can get money from private donations from various people. As we know, in Mumbai, marathon is being run every year, and many of the NGOs are taking part in this marathon, and corporates are supporting these NGOs by taking part in such marathons and donating them lakhs of rupees for the noble cause of NGOs to work towards community upliftment, towards taking care of health, care of the community, patients and society at large.